This episode of The Faithful Agent brought to you by our sponsors, Rachel Inman with the Mortgage Mamas, and our sponsors at Patreon.com. Christians in real estate, let's dive right in and learn how to grow our business and grow our faith.
Okay, so we've got the incredible Damian Burr. So anybody that listens to the podcast, you have heard him. If you don't listen to the podcast, shame on you. Go download that right now and help us out. But we had Damian Burris on. We met Damian, gosh, was it a couple months ago, I guess, at this point, where we met you in South Carolina at this real estate summit that Tyler and I talked at, and Damian spoke as well. And we were hanging out with Damian afterwards, only to find out that he's a brother in Christ and an awesome, incredible man of God, and does some really good business too. And he's got some cool things going on and has a video that has received 200 million views, right? I think that's the number, right, Damian? So yeah, so you're in South Carolina. Anyways, he's got a lot of things going on. He's a broker. He's got some brokerage. Got some really cool stuff he's doing for the community. But here today to share about social media. So Damian, thanks for joining us, buddy. We absolutely appreciate you.
Thank you for having me, man.
Yeah, dude, absolutely, man. So jump in real quick if you can. Just give us some overviews, right? I think everybody recognizes that social media is a necessity in our industry, but very few of us actually utilize it well. And one of the things that Tyler and I both took away from our conversation with you on the podcast was how intentional you were by, I did a video every day for 30 days, and then I tracked the response, how many views did it get, whatever. Like, just give us a broad overview of, if we're looking at this and saying, okay, I know I need to do social, but it's not being effective for me right now, where do we need to start, buddy? Help us with that.
Awesome. First, thank you for having me, man. I appreciate getting together with like-minded people, but I also appreciate getting together with believers. It's just a great thing. So I thank you guys, everybody that's watching, that's here. Thank you for taking the time out, just being part of an incredible, incredible group of people. And these two guys are amazing. So we have to really understand how social media works, but 80% of how social media works, I would say, is going to come from not being on social media. Too often, we think having an account and pressing play, I'm supposed to get a bunch of leads. That's not how this works. The Bible talks about that heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. So is social media. It's a prepared place for prepared people. So you're going to have to have a brand that you're building or that you've established, and then introduce that brand to the people that's in your sphere. Too often, we just click the button and we just start talking, and we're talking and just rambling and have no idea what's happening, what's going on. You're going to have to find out, what am I saying on social media? Who am I saying it to? How will they relate to them? And how do I create a system that keeps them coming back? Every time you turn on your camera, or every time you do a live or a post or whatever, people are voting. They vote with their views and they vote with the like and share button. So you got to look at what people are liking, what they're voting on, what they think the content should be about, and how well you disseminate that content to them. And you start reading the analytics, and you begin to understand what your audience likes from you, what your audience dislikes from you. And you also learn what your strong points are and what your development needs are. So when you build that brand and you start to say, okay, this is what I'm going to niche. This is what I'm going to talk about. I remember being in a class with the guy that was telling me his business was about love. He talked about love. His content was about love, love, love. Okay. Well, I asked him, tell me something about a mother-daughter. Couldn't say anything. Well, tell me something about a father and son love. Well, tell me something about a husband and wife love. And he stumbled on those things, but he was a personal developer about the topic of love. And I said, well, you don't know enough about love to be a person that talks about it. Well, it's the same with most people. We have a niche, but we don't know enough content about the niche to be able to talk about it. I can talk about God, purpose, and personal development in real estate all day long because I've studied the topic. I've researched it. I have a catalog of probably a year without having to stop and go back and look and see what I'm going to talk about, because I've spent time with the content. So what is it that you want to be known for? How do you get your hand to be raised higher than every other agent that's out there? And how do you monetize what's happening with the content that you're sharing?
Man, that's good stuff. Okay, lots of stuff in there. Very helpful overview. Start to break that down for us. So one of the most impactful conversations you and I have had was, how do we understand who we want to actually speak to? Understanding who that avatar is. So help us. Let's say we've never been on social media before, like Tyler, and we're trying to start by building a brand and gain a following, right? And ultimately to influence people to generate business like you have. Where do we start? What's step one?
The first step is just you creating the page and creating what I call a value proposition video. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is how I help people. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is how I help people. There's something called an ikigai. It's a Japanese proverb. An ikigai, you can't declare that you found your ikigai until you have four elements. The world needs it. You're good at it. You get paid for it. And you love doing it. So once you declare those four items, you can declare that I've found my ikigai. So when you're creating your value proposition video, then it should have those four concepts. The world needs it, you're good at it, you get paid for it, and you love doing it. So when you create that value proposition video, the people that you want to attract, what is it that they're going after the most? And that's what you start to build content on. So you create the page and you tell them, hi, I'm Damian Burris. My job or what I do is I help people with low credit scores to get in homes. I help people that are looking for their forever home to find that home. I help divorced couples that really can't figure it out, settle the issue of the house. Whatever your niche is, if it's luxury homes, if it's divorce homes, if it's distressed properties, if it's investors, you get online and tell them, this is what I do. Because you now know it's a clear, conscious decision or uncut, you know, straight, no chaser of what you do. We go to KFC for chicken. We go to pizza for Pizza Hut. We go to Subway for sub. So there needs to be a clear cut decision straight to the point about what it is that you do. You know, when you're saying, hey, I'm really want to buy, sell, invest, call me. Everybody says that. So, you know, you leave ambiguity as to, you know, what you really master it. At that point, it's like a general store. You can go in here and get everything and you wind up not getting anything because you're so overwhelmed. But if you now niche down to the one thing that you do well and you start to drive that point home, you create a market and business where people start to know you for that one thing.
That's good. So it's an actual video that you record that you post on your page, right? It lives there. You can pin it to the top or whatever. I don't know a ton about social, but it is getting on, hey, I'm Garrett Maroon and I help first-time home buyers get into a new home or something specific, right? You're giving immediately, this is who I am, and you're giving this value proposition to them. Correct. Now, once you've created that, actually, let me back up. Before we even get to that point, Damian, how do we do the work? What do we need to do to understand what our niche is supposed to be? Help us walk through that to figure out, what should my first video be? Who should I be speaking to? What are some things we should do to try to gain clarity there?
Well, I would say your purpose in real estate and in life in general is what is it that makes you the most angry? What is it that you feel like you want to solve the most? What is it that when you hear this subject or you're dealing with this client, it just boils your blood? It's like, And that's where the passion is, because that's what you're gonna be motivated to do without having to be motivated. So if it's first time home buyers, if it's luxury properties, if it's investors, if it's foreclosures, if it's short sales, whatever that is, establish that. Now, how you establish that is just finding out what it is and what, you know, what gets you moving. Now, the next thing you have to do is you have to do a ton of data, ton of research, ton of finding out what happens in this box that you're in. And one thing I love about the NBA is something called data science. The NBA spends millions of dollars every year being able to flash on the screen when the record is broken and doing that because they have access to all of the data. People love data. So whenever you go study, if you're studying distressed properties, drop something every day or every other day, how often you want, you know, to have this movement into your social media that gets the attention of the people that you're targeting. So now you created the video. Now you have to start researching content. I did this with my group. I had them for 7 days study the area of niche. And then the eighth day, which was June the 1st, we did a 30-day video challenge. You should not be running out of content in day four. Think about it. Your favorite restaurant, if they ran out of your favorite item in day four, what happens to the rest of the month? If you're running out of what to talk about on the camera at day four, chances are your business is not going to grow because you don't have enough substance to keep feeding the people that's coming. So you got to be content rich. You got to know what's happening. You need to be an expert in the matter that you say you want to develop.
Man, that's really good. Okay. So I say, I want to focus on first-time home buyers. I go out. I love that concept. I spend 7 days just researching everything there is to know about first-time home buyers, the data, what they think, what they do, whatever. And like you said, for example, maybe for the next 30 days, I do a video post a day. And specifically, for example, I'm talking about, hey, first-time home buyer. I know you said that, by the way, as a side note on the podcast, that specifically say up front who you're talking to. Hey, first-time home buyer, right? Hey, first-time home buyer, did you know that, whatever, I'm making this up, but 90% of you will only look at four houses before you buy a home? Let me help you choose that fourth house, whatever. But specifically things that are interesting to them, right? Right. And intentionally in that model, I'm speaking to them. And therefore, when, as you mentioned, Damon, and you tell me, when that investor tunes in, they're like, all right, this is not for me, right? And so they tune out. Now, I think that many of us would say, well, wait a minute. I don't want that investor to check out what I'm doing and then tune out really quickly. What about them? Like you said, I kind of want to be a general store. I want to be for everybody. Why is that not the right approach? Why is it more appropriate to be really intentional as to who you're speaking to, even at the exclusion of another group?
Well, I'll give you a scenario. Hey, you, the guy with the eyes, you with the eyes. Well, everybody here has eyes, right? So you're not singling out anybody. If you're for everybody, you're for nobody, right? So if I say, hey, Steven is on the line. He knows there's only one Steven on here. So we know who I'm talking about. So it's a little different at that point because now you understand who I'm talking to and you're getting that person. Now, but there is a Arnie, there's a Derek, and there's a David on here listening. Just because I'm talking to Steven and they may not be interested in the first-time home buyer, what they will gather is this guy is knowledgeable. This lady is knowledgeable. They know what they're talking about. I need somebody hungry like me. I need somebody that constantly shows up. Even though I'm not looking for a first-time home buyer, the information that they're giving out can still be beneficial for what I'm doing. So just because you're not directly talking to the first-time home buyer, an investor or a seller is still looking at how often you show up. Investor or seller is still looking at how well together your material is and how often you show up to make sure your clients know who you are. So just because you're not talking to that person at that moment, every conversation is an audition for the next
one. That's good. I've always been an advocate too of the more that we learn, you know, we're attracted to minds at work, right? What's so fascinating about you, obviously, you know what you're talking about, but you also just can talk about it and it's interesting. You know, if you were just saying what we all knew or spouting out whatever talking point that we've all heard before, no one would care, right? It'd be boring. We wouldn't have had you on the show. We certainly wouldn't have you come back, right? But because you've done your research and you understand it, people are just attracted to a mind at work. They think it's fascinating to learn what someone else has learned. And so that alone is going to keep people coming back. So, okay, we've now decided I'm going to niche myself. I want to talk to these particular people. I'm going to go learn what I need to learn in order to speak competently, share data, make it interesting for those people. Then what's next, right? I think a lot of agents get to the point to say, not that clearly, but they get to the point to say, okay, now I'll just post for 30 days and see what happens. And then nothing happens and they become discouraged. And then I'll post when I post and then we forget. And, you know, a year later, we're like, well, I should have done something with that social media thing and I didn't. So how do we stay on track? What do we need to continue to do just to keep growing? And give us a concept, like how long is this runway before our plane actually starts to take off?
And the crazy part about it is that really determines how consistent you are. You know, and I love the analogy, how long is a runway? Because, you know, in order for every plane to go on its next flight, there has to be a runway. So you're going to be grounded a lot in real estate when it comes to social media marketing. One, algorithms change. Two, your audience may change. Your brand may change. Four, your level of clientele may change. So you're going to have to get used to being on runways. But if you're on a runway, that means you have somewhere to go. So you really have to be able to adjust and understand what's happening and be able to filter what you're dealing with and what's going on. So I would say when we did our challenge, my group came back and was like, okay, we did the first 30 days. Where are all the leads? I said, well, the first 30 days was to get you comfortable or get you uncomfortable not posting. The first 30 days is to get you uncomfortable with not posting. Because when you do something for 30 days, the first 30 days, at day 31, if you're no longer in the challenge, you're like, oh, I need to post. You now start to feel naked. You know, it's like you left your bracelet home or you know, you left your favorite scarf home. It's like, oh, I don't feel right not doing this. So it's getting you in the habit to continually to post. 60 days is now you starting to really utilize what the audience is saying that they like from you the most. That's now going back to look at what videos had the largest engagement. What videos did they like the most? What videos did they like the least? Where did you need to clean up? What times were the best times for you to post? So all those things help you with that. Day 90, and I know you're like, well, when does it end? Again, it doesn't. You know, this ends when you want to stop selling real estate. Day 90 is going to be you being able to open up to how well your audience likes the brand. Okay. So if your audience at day 90, you'll know what's happening with it. You know, marketing is what people say about you. Excuse me. Marketing is what you say about yourself. Branding is what others say about you. Day 90, there should be posts that are reshared because now people trust the brand. You should start seeing people share things that you're saying because you're showing up, you're there, you're consistent. So now you will know. This person is buying into the brand because they're resharing my post. Anytime I post something, they're resharing it or, you know, I'm getting this from that. And then you start asking people, hey, how'd you hear about me? Are you newcomers? How'd you hear about me? Oh, I got this from this person or this person told me this or told me that. So now you start to see how the pattern works. For 30 days is to get you uncomfortable posting. The next 60 days is for you to monitor the analytics of what's happening. The 90-day mark is for you to now see how well the brand is taking off. And then you'll see how to retweak it. You'll see, you know, what things you need to add, what things you need to take away, and how those things, you know, work together for you to have an established brand. It's something that I teach my agents called TOMA. It's called Top of Mind Awareness. I think we talked about this. Brain only has two reference points for preference. So when there comes to a preference that you want something, you only have really two strong points. And I think I used this before. And I ask a person, hey, what's their favorite place to get cheesecake? One may say the Cheesecake Factory, other may say Junior's. That's like, I really don't know. Most agents in social media, they're the, I really don't know. Because they never become top of mind awareness for the subject of social media and real estate because nobody remembers that they sell real estate. And then you get, oh, forgot Damien sells real estate because you're not top of mind. But when you're top of mind and when you've gone through the steps and when you got adjusted to landing and getting on and off the runway and understanding the algorithms, people start to remember you because you're consistently showing up. Success is paid in the rears. So if you're looking for this to be a 30-day thing, you're sadly mistaken. This has to take time to grow. It takes time to grow. It takes time for people to get used to you. Think about, you know, we all been bivocational, meaning we worked somewhere else before. Think about day one on the job at the job you just left or you're still working now. It was a mess day one. You know, a lot of things work together. You walked into a 20-year-old company. So you have to give yourself time to adjust to what's happening. And the longer you stay in it, the more and more time you develop the skill of social media.
Man, that's good stuff right there. I think it is. It's a testament in a negative way to our natural inclination. And even as believers, our unwillingness to just have patience and perseverance, right? You mentioned, well, 90 days and you have to qualify that as, hey, hold on. It's okay. Right. This is going to go on for a long time. And the reality I'm right now, I was working on it earlier today. I'm writing a book and part of what I'm writing, it's the PDA formula, predictable, dollar productive, and aligned. The predictable piece is talking about how do we create lead generation recipes. We create a recipe just like you would a cake and you put all the ingredients in, you bake the cake, you try it. You're like, that's not exactly it. I need to tweak it. You do it again. You bake the cake. You keep trying that until you figure out what the recipe is, right? Well, I make the comment on how often, to your point, how often I'm having to encourage people when I'm teaching, right? From my perspective, I've been 100% referral on a 36 touch. You're 100% referral through social media, right? But the system that I've created and use took me 3 years to really get that perfect. But now that I have it, it's easy. It's natural. It's something that doesn't take that long, and it produces 50 plus sales a year. But how often would people not even go down that runway long enough to ever get to that point, right? Where, you know, this is not a magic bullet, but let's say, for example, in your scenario, on day 91, now you've reached the other side. Now your plane is getting ready to take off. But how many of us never even make it to the end of the runway where we can actually take off, right? We just like, well, that didn't work. I wasn't getting any traction. And that's just not how things work. And as believers, again, persevering through what we believe is the right thing to do, just persevere, just keep doing it and keep doing it. You know, Galatians 6:9 says, do not grow weary in doing good, for in due season you will reap if you do not give up. Right. So this reality of us just keep going, keep working. Now, it's not talking specifically about social media, right? Let's be honest there, but the reality of just being willing to keep going. I love that concept for you. So you've given a ton of practical hands-on information here. When you talk about analytics, you mean go look at the video and see how many views it got, right? Do you want to generate more leads, create more leverage, and have more life? Do you want to build business the way the Lord called you to by serving and loving people? Well, we want to help. I've sold over 500 homes in just 8 years, all by relationship, and I show you how in my 8-part e-course on the foundations of lead generation. Just go to faithfulagent.com, click get the e-course to learn more, and just for being a faithful listener, use promo code podcast for $100 off. Now, back to the show.
You can actually look at, you know, how many people are actually watching the video, how many people actually shared the video. You can even look and see how long people are staying on the video. So, you know, that measures, you know, how well people actually, you know, enjoy the content. You know, if it's a 13-second video and the average time that people stand on the video is 4 seconds, you lost them in the first 4 seconds. You know, so that's why I said, you know, when you click on and you turn the camera on, hey, buyer, listen, here's what I want to talk to you about. Boom. Everybody else, a buyer that's renting or a future buyer, you're going to be locked in. Now, whatever you say out the hey, buyer, listen up, it better be worth me stopping my time. Because if it's not, they're going to scroll to the next thing. Another thing that I get on agents about, too, is there's no authenticity. Everybody is afraid. Most people that won't do social media, they're more afraid of scrutiny than they are of lead generation. They're more afraid of rejection than they are actually not getting the client. Okay. Because if you tell them, the worst that can happen is nobody will click on it and nobody will call you. They're more afraid of say something wrong or people going to analyze this. And they get on, and the people that actually are afraid, they talk in so much real estate jargon. They talk in so, hey, listen, your PITI and all this other stuff, the general public has no idea most of the time all of this jargon. They want plain text. It's about what's relatable. We know and understand that when Trump and Hillary ran for office, her resume was way more impressive than his. But he was more relatable. People want people that are relatable. If you're relatable and you get on using all this jargon, they're not going to understand. You're talking about encumbrances and you're talking about we need a suit to acquire title. That's boring. You're really making content for other realtors that are not going to use you to buy a home. Let's be honest. I remember this one guy that I called and I'm out the box when it comes to marketing. So I saw this guy, beautiful home, had a for sale by owner sign in the yard. I said, hey, I got a question. You want to buy some cell phone minutes? He was like, it's 2019. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard. I said, yeah, it's about as dumb as that for sale by owner side in the yard when the only people that have seen it are the homeowners. He was like, okay, I'm listening. Didn't man, right? But because most people have no idea how to market to the need of the people. If you market to the need of the person that's watching you, we posted the other day, I said, hey, if you have a 620 credit score and you have you're gainfully employed, there's not one reason why you should be in a house. If you want to be in a house, inbox, put I want a home in the comments. No lie, I got 47 inboxes and 35 appointments from one post.
Wow, that's amazing.
I'm talking directly to people. That's plain text. 620 credit score and I'm gainfully employed. I have those two things. Now, how do I get in the house? Well, that's where you set the home buyer's consultation and we walk through it. What if I say, hey, if you've turned in your W-2s and you've done all this other stuff, they turn that stuff off. They're not listening. most agents are making content so they don't get scrutinized by other agents.
That's good stuff, man. Now, before people start turning off, right? Because it's so common when you hear, oh, you got 47 messages and 35 appointments. Well, I'm never going to do that, right? How long have you been doing this consistently, would you say?
Since 2015.
2015?
Since 2015, yes, sir.
Wow. So 8 years, right? This is not, like you said, this is not a, you know, I once heard it said, someone asked me, how did I become an overnight success? And the person said, yeah, I was a 10-year overnight success. Right? Success doesn't happen in a moment. It is the consistent action over and over and over again that's going to get you where you want to go. So do you want 35 appointments from one post? That blows my mind, right? I can't even get 35 people to watch my video, let alone comment on it. And the reality for you is this consistency over time, right? We can be wherever we want to be as long as we're willing to be consistent on it. Tyler is a great example of this. Now, first of all, I always tell Tyler he needs to dumb it down. He's too smart. He uses big words that I don't understand. He needs to talk to the people. That's me, Tyler. Talk to the people, buddy. Let me understand what you have to say. But number two, okay. Thank you, buddy. Tyler is a great example of he became a professional baseball player. It wasn't that he was, you know, my backup, which he was in high school. He wasn't my backup to the next year. He was a professional athlete. It was a daily grind. I had to get that in there, T. You know, it's my only claim to fame. It was this daily grind, this daily activity that eventually, guess what? Where do you end up? In professional sports. And I think that we tend to forget that there are blood, sweat, and tears that get us along the way, right? Super practical, super helpful. I want to open it up real quick. Damien, that's amazing. Any questions for Damien before we let him go? Or you're welcome to hang out with us too, buddy, but any questions for Damien on how to get started, what they should do, anything about what your brand could be, anything like that? And if you're on here, please turn your video on. So Tamika, to Sabrina, David, John, Steven.
You said something I want to piggyback on.
Please, buddy.
The analogy of the cape. That's a great, great analogy because you got to look at this. There's prep time. There's mixing time. There's seasoning time. But you have to realize, guys, there's big time. There's nothing you can do while the cake is in the oven. Sometimes you just have to put it in the oven and let the oven do its job. You can't keep opening it up. And I don't know if you guys, but when I was small, my grandma would tell me, sit down before my cake fall. You made the cake fall, you in trouble. So there, you just have to really, you got to really just take time to sit down and wait for all of the things that you've been mixing and the prepping and the seasoning and the tasting and the pre-tasting and all that good stuff. Just bake. And when it's time, you're going to pull that cake out. And here's the thing. A lot of us are going to, we're going to be anxious, but everybody around us is going to start smelling the aroma of cake before we ever smell it. Because if you're baking a cake, somebody walk in like, who's baking cake? Because they don't see the mix, they don't see the batter, they don't see the frosting, but they know what the aroma of success of cake smells like. So what's going to happen is you're going to do the work, but let the oven do its job. Allow it to bake, allow it to work for you, and I promise you, if you stay consistent, you guys will make way more money than you ever thought possible. You just don't know how to keep going. One of the things that God gave me, I will share with my agents, I said, success is easy because most people quit. It's what's hard is continuing, but success is easy, but most people quit. So if you can ever stick into that, if you can ever keep going and not give up on your goals, your dreams, and what you have, and keep that why at the forefront of your mind, you'll be amazing. I promise you.
It's good stuff, man. Yeah. One of my favorite quotes ever is the only time you can't afford to fail is the last time you try. As long as you keep trying, you can afford the failure. You have a long enough runway. So, man, that's good stuff, buddy. David had a question. He said, is it 90 days of videos or 90 days of material? And is it a mix of video, posts, pretty pictures? Like, what does that look like?
Great question, David. I would say first, start your value proposition. For you, they hear your message, they hear your meaning. And, you know, it could be a mixture of nice videos. It could be a mixture of whatever you want it to be. It could be you just, content is content. So if you're getting out, going to look at a house, that's content. If you're on your boat for the weekend, you pass by a beautiful house, that's content. everything is content as it relates to real estate. You just got to know how to put it out there and what to do. So yeah, you want to consistently be putting videos out. You know, this generic, you know, seven things to do to keep your house still, you know, make your house still, tidy up, curb appeal, that stuff doesn't really doesn't. They scroll past that. They want to hear you. They want to know, what does David offer? You know, what's David's opinion on this? What does David feel about it? Because once you capture that audience, then you have them sucked in. They're going to listen to whatever you say. So just consistently a mixture of those.
And David is British. So all you have to do, Dave, is talk and people will listen, right? We all know that's true. So that's good stuff, man. That's super helpful. Derek said that Google also has a section called, quote, people also ask. And it will tell you what all of the first-time homebuyer questions are. So that's a great place to go, a great resource I've never heard of. Bobby made the comment of he said the main thing is to keep the main thing, which is absolutely true. So thanks, Bobby. Right. And then let's see, William, you said, if you want to be branded as a listing agent, should you select a particular area? Do you mean specifically a neighborhood, or do you mean a type of listing like a move of down buyer or downsize, or do you mean something specific or like a physical area? Should you be branding specifically to a type of seller?
Type of seller? No. I don't think you should brand to a type of seller. I think, Pam, if you want to be branded as a listing agent, you should know everything about the area that you want to form. Again, this is about data. This is about stats. This is about trusting that you know what's happening. So I wouldn't worry about the seller as much as I would the market. Right now, if I asked you where you live, can you tell me where would I go to find a 5-bedroom, at least 1/2 acre with all marble floors, all brick finishes, that has a, you know, decent HOA with a pool, all that good stuff? As a great listing agent, you should be able to tell me what neighborhood that is, what sellers are usually paying in concessions, how long these things are on the market. That's how you become the listing agent, when you know the market. It's not about the seller, because the seller changes. You don't know who has the ability to, you know, what a person looks like that has a kind of house. You just need to be able to know the information when it happens. So when you go to these neighborhoods, or you're farming these neighborhoods, you need to know what's happening in that neighborhood. A hint that I will give you guys, a market that you want to be in, if there has not been a home that sold in the last 60 days, you need to be killing that neighborhood because there's nobody in. And you might say, oh, well, people don't move out of that neighborhood. You know why? Because they haven't seen the numbers of what they can make out of this neighborhood yet. I had an agent that did that. She said, nobody's sold anything in 6 months. I said, start sending your cards out and tell them what their house could go for. I think she did 11 houses in 2.5 months.
Wow.
People had no idea. They're like, oh, nobody moves out of this neighborhood. That's the perfect neighborhood for you to start farming, because they haven't moved, they have equity, and nobody's claimed that as territory. It's uncharted territory.
That's good, man. Any other questions there too? And while you all are thinking, if you have any, piggybacking off that, one of the things that I teach and am writing about is what I call the rule of eights. So the rule of eights means most agents and most business people in general, but will say, I need to do, you know, social media, my sphere, and open houses, whatever, right? And when I'm teaching this, I'm saying, okay, but let's pick which one you think is going to be most effective for you. Let's say it's social media. Second would be your sphere. Third is open houses, let's say. Well, the rule of eight says we're going to just focus on social media, let's say for 90 days, until you know you've got that system of lead gen to an 8 out of 10 level. Until you have it at an 8 out of 10 level, you don't go move on to the next system. You become as much of a master as you can, get it to an 8 out of 10, be really good at it. And then you say, okay, I built that piece. I've laid that foundation. Now I'm going to go do my referral. I'm going to go build my sphere. I'm going to work on that until I have that at an 8 out of 10 level. Once I've got that and it's more consistent, then I go to the next thing, right? I say that because a lot of agents and a lot of people here, what is common in our industry is we hear someone who is absolutely spot on and convincing, like you are, Damien, and say, oh man, I got to go add this now, right? I'm already doing X, Y, and Z. I got to go start posting too. And we have this attitude where we're trying to do everything all at once. And by trying to do everything all at once, we end up doing none of it any good, right? And so then it doesn't work. And we say, well, social media didn't work. And, you know, that cold calling didn't work or whatever. My encouragement to you is the only reason for you to show up today is actually take action, right? So, but the action as an encouragement, hear me, the action doesn't have to happen today. And it doesn't have to happen tomorrow. It could, but it also could be set up for the future. Once you've gotten whatever you're working on, once you've gotten that into a good place where you can do that on autopilot, then start incorporating this, right? So my encouragement is, number one, you got to act. If you don't act, it's not going to work. But number two, if you want to jump on it, awesome. But don't be discouraged. If you have too much going on right now, scale a bunch of stuff back, work on one thing till it's innate, and then implement social media. Whatever it looks like, right? But don't take on too much. Recognize that you're only going to do this effectively, as Damian talked about, for 90 days, if you're ready and able and willing to focus on doing this well. And if you have too many things going on, you're not going to do this well. And then you're going to say it didn't work because your plane never left the ground and you're going to get discouraged. You're going to stop. So let's not be those kinds of agents, right? Pam said, which social media is best, Facebook, Instagram, or YouTube?
It's like a CRM, the one you use the most. You have to build all three of them. Now, which one takes the longest to build? YouTube. Facebook is going to be more for posting. Instagram is going to be better for video sharing and pictures. So it just depends on what niche you want to go in. If you want to be the person that you captivate them with a nice video with an amazing caption, then that's Instagram. If you're the type of person that you feel like posting more pictures and words, you know, gets them, then Facebook is going to be that community. YouTube just takes a long time to build because, you know, you got to get people to, you know, probably register to subscribe to you and, you know, do all the other stuff. So it takes YouTube a long time to develop. But YouTube Shorts is going to be the next big thing that happens for social media because it's just growing and growing and growing. But yeah, it's going to be the one you're most comfortable with and the ones you use the most. I say quickly, though, if you notice, past a certain generation, Instagram is the new phone number. Most people don't ask, what's your phone number? The first thing they ask, hey, you on Instagram? So that's probably the most effective, I would say, because it's quick. You know, it's a minute and 30 seconds for a reason because we have short attention spans. So you got to work on your elevator pitch. You got to find out what it is that you're doing. And there's a quote that I live by, and I tell everybody all the time, the opportunity of a lifetime only lasts the lifetime of the opportunity. You have a small window to be great. You have a small window to be great. The opportunity of a lifetime only lasts the lifetime of the opportunity. When I say a small window to be great, I'm not limiting your capability. But what I am saying is you got to strike while the iron is hot. And, you know, you want to get in and get out. You know, that's why I love the minute and 30 seconds, you know. You can start having 2 and 3 and 4 minutes. You gain the people attention. But when you're trying to get in and get out that captivating message or that captivating post or that beautiful house that you're showing or you're doing a video about what your day looked like, you got a minute and 30. It's the longest you can do on a reel, a minute and 30. So get in and
Man, that's good stuff, dude. Well, I need to go post. No. So we've got some talking to do. Before we let Damian go, any ahas, what takeaways do you all have? What were some, wow, that was blew my mind.
I want to ask a real quick question while I got a second. Yeah, so much about what we're trying to do, it's about feedback loops. What are we doing? What's working? We're implementing systems into our business and we can measure results on that. We're investing this amount of dollars into a marketing plan. We're investing this amount of time into a cadence weekly to, you know, touch our database, this, that, and so on. When we are building these social media plans, we've got a 90-day program, you know, outside of the obvious number of views, number of likes, maybe comments and things like that, like how do you track when you're really hitting the sweet spot, when you're really hitting the people that you're trying to target? I mean, is it that simple? Is it just the amount of interactions that you get on each post, or is there another feedback loop that we can be looking for to like affirm or deny that we're heading in the right direction in terms of growing a presence?
Consultations. You can have a great audience or a great video, but if you don't know how to turn those persons watching into consultations, you're still missing the point. The whole objective of this is to have consultations. Now, my agents, the first thing they want to do when they come out of the real estate school, got my business cards, I passed out business cards. I would rather 7 names and only pass out 2 business cards instead of 50 business cards and 3 names. Because, you know, I'm not getting anything from just passing out my business card other than a hope. I'm waiting for you to now call me. So whenever I can give you thought-provoking content that causes you a button that schedules an appointment, that's the next thing. It should be easy for them to go from hype, energized, to now talking to you on a one-on-one. If, well, when are you available? I'll have to check my calendar. No. When people say, hey, I'm next, can't wait. I saw this video you posted and I'm just waiting. Cool. I just sent you a link. You press any day that's available on there and we're going to talk. What day can I expect to hear from you? And I tell them, they go look. Okay, cool. Yeah, haven't seen your appointment time come yet. What are we waiting on? So if it takes you a long time, you know, I got to check my schedule. By the time they're moved on, the hype is gone. The opportunity of a lifetime only lasts the lifetime of the opportunity. You have to capitalize on them being hyped, on them being ready, willing, and able at the drop of a dime. That's why I teach agents, get the review at the closing table. It's where the biggest feelings are. It's where the realest emotions are. It's where the best content is going to come out because they just signed. They just closed on the house. They're their most horrible. They're their most open and passionate to talk about how great you were as the agent. So you have to make sure if you're trying to get them to convert to now going from I watched the video to now I'm a homeowner, as Tyler's asking, how many consultations are you booking a week? You know, instead of saying, hey, I want to close 10 houses this month. No, back that down. I want to have 15 consultations this month. 15 consultations in a month, you're probably going to close at least 5 of those people. Okay?
It's good.
So much of what we do is sort of localized to a region or an area or a state, you know, based on licensing and whatnot in the real estate industry. How would you recommend? I mean, the reach of social media, all the various platforms is so much broader, even international reach. So how would you recommend that we target, you know, the 3 states that we're licensed in, 2 states or area that we're licensed in through social media?
So Derek's a mortgage lender, by the way. So keep that in mind as you. Okay. Yeah.
Gotcha. Well, the first thing I would say is everybody that's in your immediate ability to be touched should know you are a lender. Okay. And then you want to start marketing to other places. So we're about to do this marketing campaign with Blip. I think that's who it is. They do national marketing. I did a research on what states move to South Carolina the most. So instead of putting my billboard in South Carolina, I'm going to put my billboard in New York. I'm going to put my billboard in Detroit. I'm going to put my billboard in Ohio. I'm going to put my billboard in other places. Hey, moving to South Carolina, guess what? We have no competition in those other markets because nobody's marketing about South Carolina in Detroit. Nobody's marketing about New York in Detroit. So you, Derek, if you want to capitalize, find out who's moving to those places, right? We're big here because Fort Jackson is here. Hey, getting reassigned to Fort Jackson, looking for a home, look up Executive Realty Group. We'd love to help. That's flashing somewhere or that's on a stationary board. I read a book just now, or probably 2 weeks ago, called Blue Ocean Strategy. What we normally wind up doing is we're trying to create or trying to survive in a red ocean. The reason the ocean is red because everybody's killing everybody trying to survive. A blue ocean strategy is no competition. I have nothing to worry about because there's nobody doing what I'm doing. So when you start to market in states that move to your state the most, you're going to start getting phone calls because nobody's doing what you're doing. Hey, I saw your billboard. I just got orders to come to South Carolina and I know nothing about that. Can you help me out with the house? Boom.
Thank you.
So start marketing in other places if you want business from other places.
It's good stuff right there. Man. All right. Anyone else? Again, I don't want to drop off. Tyler just texted me and said, this is fire, Damien. So you're doing a preacher, Damien, man. You're doing a good stuff. Man. Yeah, I like it, dude. I
appreciate it.
Tamika, I saw you unmuted. Yeah, go ahead.
Okay. I have a quick question. So for people that are right camera like myself, is it okay to maybe post something but do like a voiceover when you're doing the Instagram and, you know, all the social media channels, because I don't know why I'm scared of the camera, but I am. So, and that's my problem.
Yes, my 200 million video was not a video of myself. It was a voiceover that was a video of something that somebody related to. I don't know if you have, it's a Asian man walking across a bridge and he's trying not to fall into the water and get his feet wet. And I'm talking about consistently putting one foot in front of the other. And it was a voiceover. It wasn't even my face. And I got 200 million videos, views from that. I mean, celebrities shared it. It's 130 million of the videos came from Africa. So it was viral in a whole nother country, continent rather. So yes, it's great to do that. But you want to select good music. You want to have great video and you want to make sure it looks well and make sure your audio is very clear. People would rather listen to a grainy video than they would look at a grainy video than listen to a horrible audio. So if audio is pleasing, then you're going to get more views. If the audio is bad, but the picture is good, people are going to turn it off. So yes.
It's good. I think if your face was on it, you would have gotten 400 million views, but maybe next time.
Right.
That's awesome. That's good stuff, man.
Great question. Great question.
All right, dude. Super helpful, Damien. That was so good, man. Seriously, thank you. Hey, Faithful Agents. As always, thank you so much for joining us again. We hope you will continue to help us build the Faithful Agent community by sharing this episode with your friends, tagging the Faithful Agent group on Facebook, and by actually downloading this episode to help us beat the algorithms and get the good word out to other faithful real estate believers. Go to faithfulagent.com and click join our Facebook community to join us, and we will see you next week.